The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, February the 5th, 2016. Thanks very much for joining us this week and hitting that download button. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com. I'm delighted to be joined once again by Charles Watts. Charles, hello.
Dan, how are you, mate?
Not so bad, not so bad. I've only just calmed down from that dramatic deadline day. You know, it takes a while to recover.
It was a thriller. It was an absolute thriller. I couldn't stop writing on my live blog, 14-hour live blog.
I was the same. I had the day off, so I set up, obviously, the Tarlhurst End stream and everything, and Hoops very kindly put up the Danny Williams room early on, and I thought for a minute, actually, we're going to have interesting, because let's give credit to Brian McDermott here. Brian actually told us in advance, saying, don't expect to do that, we'll be doing very much. And sure enough, he did nothing.
He did. In one foul swoop on that Saturday, he killed all expectation of it being a busy one. And to be fair, I think that's the best way of doing it, isn't it? I remember when Adkins, a few years back, I think it was just after the Yeovil game in the Championship, when they won 1-0, Alfie scored a penalty. And that was the last game that was on the Saturday. The deadline was on a Monday. And after that game, he said he wanted two or three in by the deadline. So expectations are right, you know, risen. Everyone was up waiting for it on deadline day and nothing happened. And obviously that sort of causes the massive meltdown. So I think before deadline day, if you say nothing's going to happen, then you're in a better position, aren't you? Because no one's expecting it. And if you do pull something off, it's a genuine surprise and people are happy. But if you don't, then people aren't angry thinking that something was going to be done but wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few names mentioned. As I said, Danny Williams was linked with a move to Swansea. Jake Cooper had a bit of Premier League interest, apparently. Palace, Stoke and West Ham interested. And on the incomings, Julian Speroni, bit of Tom Bradshaw and Bradley Dack, all loosely linked around the sort of 24, 48 hours before deadline day. Obviously, none of them came to pass. Was anything close, from what you understand?
No, from what I understand, not at all. I mean, the Danny Williams one, what happened on the morning, I got in, and within an hour of a few phone calls and speaking to people, I was pretty certain that was all just not true. And I know that it kept being reported by various places that he was in talks, but I was told that absolutely wasn't the case, and no bid had been accepted, no talks had taken place, and he was very much training as normal at Reading and had travelled with the group, which he did, up to Ipswich. So no, from all I was getting on that, there was very much a driven story, just driven possibly by Swansea agents and Swansea people who were trying to make the club look like they were busy trying to do business on that day. But as far as I'm aware, as far as from down here, Reading point of view, that Danny did not hold any talks with Swansea, and that he was very much always on the ground here.
What about Jake Cooper?
Again, I think there is, you know, there's no smoke without fire with that one. I think kind of very much similar to Michael Hector, that there's clubs are watching him and his progress. And but I didn't think that anything was close. I think the fact that he played on the Saturday as well sort of suggested to me that if something was close, and especially with some of the money that had been bandied around of, you know, sort of 5 million bids, which we'd heard from Stoke, or 5 million possible bids from Stoke, that if that sort of money was on the table for Cooper, I can't imagine he would have started on the Saturday. So it's no surprise to me that he didn't leave on the Monday.
Yeah. Any sniffs on the incoming front? I said, mentioned Speroni, Bradshaw, Dak. I noticed today as well, up in Bolton, they're reporting that we were in for their young defender, Rob Holding. That's one that's only come out in the last few hours. But any of those other names sort of near any smoke to those fires?
No, again, Speroni to me was shot down immediately when I asked the question when that rumour came up. And I got told by someone that he was surprised at how wide of the mark that rumour was, considering what journalist it came from, who was a very very well-known journalist and strong journalist with good links. But that was, again, shot down to me very quickly. Who else did you mention?
Tom Bradshaw and Bradley Dack.
Yeah, Bradshaw, again, that was, well, I think Brian has sort of killed the expectation of that one beforehand as well, that wasn't one for now that they were looking at, even though he is a player that they've been watching for a while. Dak, again, that even earlier on in the window, before I think the window even opened, that was rumours that Reading were watching him, and to be fair, they are watching him, they have watched him. But again, I was flagged up at that point that I was told it was unlikely that something was going to happen in this particular window, and looking at bids that Gillingham rejected, say they, I think it was 2 million from Bristol City, they rejected for him, that they're very keen to hang on to him. I think they know that they've got a good chance of going up this year, and unless something really big landed on their table, they were in the position to be able to rebuff those offers and possibly wait to see where they are in the summer in terms of selling him.
Well, we'll move on to the Ipswich game in just a moment, but just trying to get your thoughts overall on the window. Do you think Brian McDermott got what he wanted in this January?
I think, no, he wanted a right back. He definitely wanted a right back that he couldn't get over the line, I think. I think the Whittaker link was strong. I think he was hoping to possibly do something with that. It didn't happen. Whether Norwich didn't want to let him go or what, but he couldn't get that one in. I think he reiterated to me on Thursday, yesterday, that he wants the right back. He wants two right backs. He said everywhere else in the squad he's got cover, but he's got no cover for Chris if something happened to Chris. I mean, thankfully, we all know that very little ever happens to Chris. He's like pretty much a robot and doesn't get injured. But if something were to happen to him, then, you know, there'd been a little bit of trouble in the right back slot. You've got Niall Keown, possibly even Paul McShane, who has played a right back before. But so I think that's something he would have liked to have done in January. He didn't get it done, but I think we'll see that. He'll be pushing hard to get that sorted in the summer.
What did you personally make of all the business done then? Three in, three out, really. Saar departing alongside Nick Blackman and the mystery man that is Paulo Hurtado. In come Yankum.
Don't forget Jake Taylor.
Yeah, very true. Well, he was kind of already out of the club because he was out on loan. Yeah. But no, we did say goodbye to Jake after a long association with the club and obviously wish him well. But coming in came Jan Kermagant, George Evans and Dennis Rackles. I think the general consensus on the first two, Evans and Kermagant, was good. There's a bit more of the jury out on Rackles, though.
Yeah, I mean, none of us know, do we? We're not really keen Polish football observers, so we can't really say what we know too much about him. I think it's... You know, I'm not sure is exciting the right word, but he's an unknown quantity, isn't he? We don't know what he's like. He's got a far better goal scoring record in the last season than Saar had before he arrived. So in Poland, I think Saar had got sort of 14 and 29. Rackles has got 15 in 17 or something this season. So, he knows what a goal is. So, and he looked, from all accounts, he's a very hard working player as well. You know, he likes to get stuck in. He's got a very good work ethic on the pitch. He could go on and be a real success. We don't know. So, yeah, it's an unknown quantity signing, that one. Jan Kermagant, I think, is very good signing. I think he's far superior player to Orlando Saar, despite, you know, obviously the age is a bit of a drawback, but I think he's a definite improvement on Orlando Saar. Nick Blackman, I think we all know what my feelings on that sale were.
Although Derby fans, I don't think, are too happy with that purchase so far.
Even so, I'm not talking about what he was like at Derby. In terms of what he was at Reading,
okay,
I shouldn't have sold him. But, you know, my feelings on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
He could not score again for the rest of the season for Derby. It wouldn't change my opinion on...
Fair enough.
Have sold him. So yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a mixture. Like you say, Evans, unproven, sort of one for the future type. And Jan, like I said, I think it's a good sign. And I'm not too bothered about Orlando Saar going. I didn't think he was anything special besides that. You know, he played had a few good games, played well against Ipswich, and I thought he was a decent enough player, but easily replaceable. And like I said, I think Jan's an improvement on him. So it's a mixed window, isn't it? It's very much a window of a team who know they're not going to go up. Hopefully, no, they're not going to go down, which we should know. Hopefully, next few weeks should sort of hopefully they'll extinguish any fears of that being dragged into the bottom three sort of picture. But yeah, it's just very much a window of muddling along and wait till the summer when they're going to have to really go again, because I think it's going to be a very vastly different squad that starts the season next season to the one we've got now.
Right, well, you mentioned that relegation word, and I want to get this out of the way early doors, because I'm going to sit here and stake my hard-earned Prediction League winning reputation on Reading will be nowhere near a relegation dogfight. I can understand why the current form is causing people to panic, and obviously a last-minute defeat Ipswich only fuelled those fires, but if you look back at this run that we've been on, we're not getting beaten heavily. We're not out of games and getting outclassed. I think we've been a bit unlucky. We've not been great. I'm not saying we should have won all these games, but I haven't got any realistic or any slight even relegation fears. Are you starting to look over your shoulder though, Charles?
I will. I've actually wrote a piece that's going online at 5 o'clock today, kind of about that. I don't mention the word. I said I write in it, but in fact, I call it the R word because I didn't want to mention it. And I don't think it's something that we should be worrying about, but I think the next basically there's four home games in a row coming up now, starting tomorrow. One of those is in the cup, obviously. So it's three league games in a row. Reading's form on the road has been horrendous. There's no other word to call it. 2 points from 30, shocking, and very much relegation form. But the home form since Brian came in anyway, it's picked up, albeit with a couple of cup games in there, but it's four wins from six for Brian. The home form has been slightly improved. They got three games now coming up. And if they can get a couple of wins, you know, six or even 7 points from those nine, I know one of them is Burnley, which will be tough. But I think that's it. There'll be no fears then. But if they get this little spell drastically wrong at home, and God forbid lose all of the games, then I think then is the time then you're going to have to start. You start getting nervy, and it's a big ask.
That's a big if, though, losing four in a row at home.
But that's what I'm saying. I think this is the most important part of the whole season, basically, comes down to these next few, before that Charlton away game. I think that from now to Charlton is the most important part of the season, and it's going to tell us an awful lot about what the last couple of months of the season. Get it right, and that'll be it. Sort of all the nerves are off. But get it wrong, this little spell now, and then I think we are in for a little bit of a nervous ending.
I mean, to put it into context, Ollie's written a piece up on thetarlesnend.com talking about pessimism, and he points out that around this stage last season, we were only 7 points away from the relegation zone and didn't win a game in nine, and still finished 9 points clear of the drop zone.
Yeah.
And now we're 10 points clear. We've been playing a lot better than we were at this point last year, and I've got a better squad. So, look, it's natural to be nervous when you're on a bad run like this, but I can't see it continuing.
I can't see it. No.
I don't think you lose. If you look at Brian McDermott's reign so far, he's not lost a game. Every single game, in fact, he's been involved in, has been settled by a goal or less. They've all been either one goal wins, one goal defeats, or draws. And I think a team that's doing that, it's a mid-table side. That's exactly what a mid-table side does. You look at the records of teams right down the bottom, like a Bolton, like a Bristol City. They're conceding 2-3 goals a game, and they're getting well and truly, you know, humped, to use a colloquialism. So I'm not worried. But are you also, I take just for the formalities, are you putting a full fork in any playoff hopes?
Yes.
Yeah. Just had to get it on record.
That's done and dusted. I think the Ipswich game on Tuesday night was the end of any lingering sort of, not even hopes, more dreams of a sudden Brian McDermott-esque run in the second half of the season to get a playoff spot. So no, that's done and dusted for me. I'm far more concerned. I'm far more looking over my shoulder than I am looking up now.
I very much suspected the same, but I had to get out there on record. So if we do go on that unexplained run, both me and you can tuck in some humble pie at Wembley.
I would gladly do that.
Just very quickly then on that Ipswich game, because you were there on Tuesday night. Did Reading deserve to lose that one? It sounded a bit of a tough loss to take.
No, they didn't deserve to lose that one. Just like for me, they didn't, like you, as you talked about, they didn't deserve to lose for me at Wolves. I didn't think they deserved to lose. They didn't deserve to lose on Tuesday. Even
or at
Hull,
the MK Dons.
Yeah, MK Dons again. You know, they're just not scoring any goals away from home. And that's a problem at the moment. Look at that Wolves game. They should have. They had so much the ball, so much possession, and didn't win. They lost 1-0 to a set piece goal. Ipswich, again, they only scored a penalty despite having plenty of the ball, and they're just not scoring enough goals. Selling to a goal scorer in January is probably not the best thing when you want to score goals, but we won't get on with that. But then they're not scoring enough goals, plain and simple, away from home, and that's what's costing them. Hopefully, once Kermigan settles into his new surroundings and he gets used to it and they get used to playing with him, then that's going to change. Obviously, we've got Rackles to come in as well, another goal scorer. So hopefully that will be sorted, and that will sort of ease any fears as well during the second half of the season, and things will improve. But they're playing well enough to pick up results away from home. No doubt about it. It's just not happening at the moment.
Yeah, well, the next stop, as you mentioned it, we have got a run of home games. It starts with Wolves on Saturday. Now, what is the latest with the injury situation? Obviously, Aaron Tischbowler unfortunately limped off in the early minutes of that FA Cup win over Walsall. So presumably he's out. Any other concerns?
No, well, that's pretty much it. George Evans is 50-50. I think he was going to come back to training today. He didn't train yesterday, but was going to come back training today. So he's 50-50. But other than that, that's it.
What about Rackles? Because he's had some problems with paperwork.
He's got his paperwork. That's arrived this week. He's not injured, but he's just not fully matched fit yet. So Brian was... I don't think he'll be involved. I think Burnley will be the first time we probably see him. He's joined him with training. He did a bit of training on his own on Tuesday with the fitness people, I think. And he went up to the game, actually travelled up to watch Ipswich from the stands as well. But he's just not match fit. I think he came over during the winter break, didn't he? So he hadn't played football for about 4 weeks. And he's not in sort of following the
it's
long line of Reading signings who seem to come in and not be match fit yet. He is, but then I look at Adebayor and played for about 16 months and he made his debut for Crystal Palace on Saturday.
But apparently Adebayor had been keeping his fitness by playing regular kickabouts with Togo, I read in a paper the other day. So there you go.
I just think surely for Raffles is fit enough for me, but obviously not for Brian or the medical people. But no, I think he'll probably set out this one and come in against Burnley.
Yeah, we'll see how that one goes. Has Brian given any indication how long Tish is expected to be out?
I think we're looking at quite a long one again. I think it's a different hamstring injury. I think it's actually a different hamstring. It's on the other leg this time. So it's not. I don't think it's a short term one. I think like Gareth came back in about sort of 10 days from his grade one, but I think we're looking at a sort of grade three, grade four for Tish, whatever that means. But it's basically just means longer layoff.
Then with the season effectively over as well, there's no need to rush him back either. You might as well give him all the time he needs to heal and then bring him back into the fray.
Yeah, you saw how devastated he was on to go off. I was so gutted for him because it's been such a good start to the season. It's just been injury after injury, and every time he comes back, he picks up another one. You could see how disappointed he was. He was really gutted. So yeah, like I said, best now just to get him fully fit and make sure that when he does come back next time, he doesn't pick up another.
Absolutely. Well, what about this Wolves game then? A lot of the build-up, I know, has been focused around the return of one Adam Lafondra. James Henry, for some reason, not getting as much attention. Wonder why that was. Alfie is returning to the Medeski. Is this his first return, or did he play here with Bolton?
No, it's his first return. Yeah. I spoke to him yesterday, and I'll be doing a piece of him later this evening.
Setting up a round on the golf course?
That goes online. Sorry?
Setting up a round on the golf course?
Setting up around on the golf course. No, not this time. He's really looking forward to it. He said it's going to be a bit emotional, actually. The classic emotional return. It's always he's just missed it the last couple of times. I think he was at Cardiff. Why didn't he play when he was at Cardiff that first season?
I think it was because Cardiff played here in the second half of the season when he was already out on loan.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Bolton had already played here.
So this is his first time back. He's really looking forward to it. I think he's hoping for a decent reception. I think he'll get a good reception. I know he got a little bit of grief the first time at Cardiff away, but I don't see why. It wasn't his fault that he left the club. He had to leave.
Well, he bailed them out of a massive tax hole.
He did. He didn't want to go, but it had to be done, unfortunately. So he's looking forward to it. And I think it's an interesting game for Reading. Like I said, it's an important one, really important one. And I think Wolves, since Reading beat Wolves, they were in a really sticky patch. They beat Wolves, went four games in a row winning, but now they haven't picked up a result in about the last three or four as well, so they're coming here a bit sticky patch again, so it's almost mirrors the last game. And I fancy Reading. I've got to say, I think they're confident at home. You can just tell talking to them now that they've got a little bit of belief about when they're playing at a Matstead, so I fancy 3 points.
Yeah, we spoke to a Wolves fan in the build-up, and you can read that over on the website, and he's not confident at all. He's predicting a Reading win. I think since the loss of Benikofobe, they feel that the air has been let out of their playoff ambitions. I know they've signed Joe Mason, but it's not a team that scares you. And after what we saw on Boxing Day as well, that was a pretty average team. And there's no reason Reading can't win this. So I have to bring this up.
Hat trick I'm going for this week.
Yes, you do, in fact, lead the Prediction League after back-to-back three-pointers. I think that's the first time anyone's ever got back-to-back results right.
Get in there. Although I was disappointed to get Tuesday nights right.
Yeah, that was you've denied handbags in the last minute there. He needed those points more than you did.
I've missed out on enough last minute goals have changed my prediction league a lot this season, so I deserved one.
Very true. Well, you do lead the league. You are on 24 points. I'm on second on 17. Johnny's third on 16. Westy on 12. Handbags on 8. So you've got a commanding lead. So the predictions from earlier in the week for the main show, I predicted a 1-0 win to Reading. Westy said 3-0 to Reading, and Dave said 2-0, and I'll get Johnny's in the next day or so.
2-1 for me.
2-1. There you go.
Yeah, Jan Kermigan's going to open his account as well.
Johnny's going to have to predict a defeat now, because you know what happens when we all predict wins. Never, ever goes well. Fantastic. Just before we go then, be amiss if we didn't mention the FA Cup run, obviously beating Walsall 4-0 a week ago on Saturday in the fifth round against either Peterborough or West Brom. Are we right to be dreaming of Wembley again, Charles?
Well, it's not far away, is it? Not far away. I mean, that's a good draw. It may not be the most exciting draw, but it's a good draw. And you fancy Reading, they've got a good shout, against either of those two. West Brom aren't going to strike fear into anyone's hearts, are they? Even in the form that they're on. Peterborough.
I expect Saido Berahino to emerge from his slump.
Well, he scored two, didn't he, against Peterborough? Yeah. They seem to be playing him in the FA Cup, and that's about it. So, but even so, they're not going to be scared of them. And if Peterborough arrive, then Reading will be favourites for that one. Although we know what happened last time Reading played Peterborough. But Wembley's very close. It's very close. I really thought they were going to get Arsenal in this one. I don't know.
It's a quarter final waiting to happen.
I just thought it was going to be the repeat of last year. But not happened, and it's another good draw. It's a home draw. We're cashing in on the home draws now after all those times away from home.
Absolutely, and deservedly so. I just do not want us to get Arsenal. They're the one team in this entire draw. Even if we got Chelsea or United or Liverpool, I'd think, yeah, we can do that. Arsenal, just automatically, no chance. No, I know we pushed you really close at Wembley. People that were there told me we pushed you very close. But no, not for me. Please stay away from us.
That run's got to end at some point. And the way Arsenal are playing at the moment and can't even score a goal, you never know.
Well, you don't. But we shall see. Anyway, Charles, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Again, a bit of a longer show, but now the transfer window's closed. Not really a lot to talk about. Let's hope this FA Cup run does go, or we'll be clocking in 5-minute shows.
I know, it's going to be we're talking about that on our web chat. You lose that cup game, and suddenly the season's going to be one long drag till May.
Oh, especially with you can't even pinpoint and look at how many players you're bringing through for next year, because there's so many question marks left about the squad.
Massive question marks. Again, you think, all the lone players are going to go. HRK is going to go. You don't know what's going to happen with Gunner.
Ferdinand's probably not going to get
Ansel
another deal.
Ferdinand, yeah, that will be a surprise. Cox is going to go. I mean, you're talking like 10 first team players there, just bang, gone in one swoop.
Well, you know what that means, though? It's a busy summer ahead.
It will be another busy summer. Hopefully, this time not for the loans, though. It'd be nice to get some permanent bodies on.
Yeah, just very quickly on that, because we didn't get to speak after the Rackall signing was confirmed, and Brian said about the fact it wasn't his signing. Does that worry you at all about this ownership group?
Not particularly, no. It's it just happens everywhere, doesn't it? I said that on Twitter afterwards. It's just the way football is. There's very few clubs now where managers only get to bring in their own players. I think you've got Arsenal, where Wenger obviously sort of runs all over everything. But other than that, there are very, very few clubs. I mean, it's no different to what happened in the summer. I mean, Hurtado wasn't a Steve Clarke signing, no matter what he said afterwards. And as far as I'm aware, Orlando Sarr again was there. This is very much coming over from the owner's scouts. I mean, Clarke may well have agreed with it, but these were players that were brought over by the owners. And the only difference is Brian McDermott has been honest enough to admit it. And I think he got scarred by the whole Pogrebniak thing, didn't he, before? And I thought it was brave of him to admit it. And it's no different to what happens everywhere. I mean, there's football committees, transfer committees, absolutely everywhere.
Do you know what it is, though? It's not just brave. I think it's very smart from him, because now he's got the inbuilt protection. If Rackles flops, he's got I wasn't the one that picked him out. He'll never say that, but everybody knows that in the back of their mind that it wasn't his player. So I think it's quite clever in a way as well, Bob Bryan. He's cleverer than more people give him credit for.
Oh, he's a very savvy manager. He definitely is. He knows exactly what he's doing, and fair play to him. But he's not disappointed that he's got Rackles, or he certainly doesn't come across as disappointed that he's got him. I think he sees him as a player he's going to be able to utilise. But I just thought he was just being very honest last week, and fair credit to him.
You've had a few weeks now to get to know Brian. What would you make of him compared to Steve Clarke?
Very different to Clarke. Brian's a lot more sort of guarded. Like you said, he's clever. I think he knows what he wants to say, and he doesn't say. And other than that, he doesn't say too much. I think he's all about the group. I mean, we all know that. You know, he's very much this group ethic. But like most questions you ask him, especially if you ask him about an individual player, within 5 words, he's managed to turn it to the group and stuff. He very rarely really talks about an individual, certainly an individual that's in his current team. He'll manage to turn it into a whole sort of group-wide thing, and the importance of squad and everyone playing together. So, you know, yeah, and that's what he's about. I think that's what he's built his success on, isn't it? It's about a whole group work ethic. So, yeah, I like him. I mean, I really like Clarke. I've got to say, we had our fall-ins out, plenty of them, certainly towards the end. But I think that was kind of his own doing in terms of what some choices he'd made. But I really liked him. I thought it was really interesting. And I hope he gets a job fairly soon.
Well, we'll see. I can't see him being unemployed for too long. He'll certainly get a coaching job somewhere because regardless of how you viewed his tenure, I think his resume and his coaching resume speaks volume. So we'll see where he pops back up. But anyway...
Well, Redden right, so, because they're still paying him. So they need to... I think until he gets a job, there's going to be a wage going out of this tour to someone who's not at the football club. So...
Oh, well, that, extra instead of go on. So if you're listening out there, football clubs, go on, give them a call. Right, Charles, thank you very much indeed for joining me and for all your thoughts over the transfer window. We've made it. We've got to the end. And now it's we've got a break until the summer. But we'll be back next week. I said, hopefully, building up. Well, we will be building up to another big championship game and with the FA Cup just around the corner.
Indeed. Have a good weekend.
And yourself. I said, you can follow Charles on Twitter at Charles_Watts. We're at the Tarlhurst End and we will see you next week.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/the Tarlhurst End.